You are the 10, though.
The look he gave me, he was so disgusted.
We don't go, hey, we won the national title. Good job.
Now everybody get your ass back to class.
Did I just out myself for having some sort of condition down there?
Some sort of glandular condition. We're just talking.
I like you, but you know.
You're not in like with me.
I have a girlfriend, man. I'm sorry.
You're not a side scroller.
No.
I'm
not a midnight golfer.
Cheers.
Cheers, buddy. Bring
so,
it here.
It's so good to see you again.
Oh, thank you. It's good to be back.
I missed you.
I was fired.
Don't you
remember?
Ever leave again. You were fired many times.
Thanks for bringing me back.
I fired you over and over and over again.
I'm just that guy who keeps getting fired but forgets he's fired, so he still shows up to work every now and then.
You're like that family on In Living Color. Hey Mon, I think it was called. Where it was, hey Mon, when I was your age, I was a doctor, a janitor, a lawyer, an ice cream. You had a lot of jobs, and you've been fired for most of them, my friend.
I'm running out. But welcome to Booze and Basketball, the best of both worlds. Make sure to check out boozeandbasketball.com. Still under construction, but still for all your booze and basketball needs. And make sure to check us out on iTunes, Podomatic, Slacker, SoundCloud, Nickelodeon, and wherever podcasts are found. And also, don't forget that we are for the people.
By the people.
Of the people.
Of the people.
And I love you guys. I miss you beautiful people. It's good to be back. And where are we at right now? Is this episode 3 of the season or something like that?
This is episode 30 of the season,
we're falling behind.
I don't know what happened to you. But,
yeah.
You know.
There's been a lot of basketball that we've missed.
I have.
You guys covered a lot of territory last episode. Credit yourself and Mr. Primetime for doing the work here on the Booze and Basketball. I thought I'd toss my hat in today. Just show up, friendly face, because I am your friendly neighborhood Los.
Uh-huh.
Just asking you for a cup of sugar this afternoon. So this is great. But you didn't have sugar. You have beer, which I'm...
What kind of beer do I have, Los?
Today we're drinking Einstock. Auger Icelandic White Ale. And
quick story.
Yeah.
Since, you know.
Tell it to me.
So here's the thing, man.
Yeah.
You are like my disappeared friend.
Mm-hmm.
You're the guy that used to be my friend. It's like I'm Big Bird and you're Mr. Snuffleupagus.
I'm here.
No one knows if I could, you know, who you are or if I could see you or anything.
Yeah.
But... You know, I once had a friend who, you know, people also think that he's invisible. His name was Neil.
Ah.
And he was like one of my best friends.
I still don't know
if
that guy exists.
You saw him many times, but or at least I thought you did.
I thought I did too.
So, you know, we used to hang out together, or I was just sitting in a bar by myself, and he turned me onto this beer where we went in the middle. He was like, you know what beer you gotta try? You gotta try Einstock. And the reason he sold me on it was he goes, well, it's a really good Icelandic white ale. But also, it has a picture of a Viking on it, Los.
A badass-looking Viking,
but
too.
But the only problem was it's not historically accurate. You know,
yeah, I was just reading
has
that.
Has horns. I was just reading today. Well, I've known this for years. Yeah. Vikings didn't have horns on their helmets.
That is depressing.
That's like finding out there's no Santa Claus.
But there is.
I don't know if you know this, by the way. There's no Santa Claus, guys. There's no Easter Bunny.
No, come on, dude.
There's no leprechaun on St. Patrick's Day.
Wow, dude. Stop with all the fallacies.
The Captain Crunch isn't
no,
even
you
a real
take
captain.
That back. You take that back. He is a decorated general. Come on, dude. I'm okay with Easter Bunny. I'm okay with leprechaun.
I don't even know if Lucky Charms are lucky.
Hey, turns out, guys.
Hey, I missed you.
Turns out, tricks aren't just for kids, too.
Yes, that's true. You're not allowed to have tricks again as an adult. Tricks are just for kids.
Oh, man.
Who was that? Was it the bunny always trying to eat tricks?
Yeah.
Why was the bunny always trying to eat tricks? If tricks are just for kids, why can't the rabbit have it?
How do we know that the rabbit's not a kid?
I don't. Yeah, well,
Have we aged this rabbit?
That's what
have
I never checked understood. Identification? If it was just a grown man trying to eat tricks, I kind of get the joke. But it was a rabbit.
He's a rabbit.
And it was a rabbit who only hung out with kids.
Yeah.
If that rabbit's an adult, we got a problem. All right? Something's wrong there. What are you doing on your free time, rabbit? All right?
Hey, and if you've noticed, compared to when we were kids, when tricks looked like little miniature fruits, now they look like rabbit pellets. So they look like colored rabbit food.
I feel like I forgot about that, that it was actually fruit shaped.
Yeah. And now they've changed it so it looks like rabbit food, except blue, yellow, and green.
Can you give a rabbit tricks?
I think you can. Let's put that to the test. That needs to be on the next episode of Mythbusters, if you ask me.
Mythbusters isn't a show anymore, buddy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they canceled
that. I heard they're bringing it back on Netflix or something. Canceled. Aren't they bringing everything back?
I think there's a new Mythbusters with either just the team or some new people.
Why would they end Mythbusters?
It's going to be me and you.
Have they busted
Mythbusters now.
Have they busted all of the world's myths that they're not around anymore?
No. They haven't figured out why tricks are just for kids.
Fuck, man. Jesus.
I'm going to send that rabbit some tricks. I think he deserves
Please. It. He's worked hard for
I'm also going to kill the Roadrunner for Wile E. Coyote. Tired of that. Did anyone ever cheer for the Roadrunner?
No.
Have you cheered for the Roadrunner when you were a kid? I think you get, you know, tested as a psychopath or something. You're a sociopath. You know, there's a test.
Who in their right mind would root cheer for the Roadrunner?
The Roadrunner, they go, step into the next room, please.
Come on.
Come with us, sir. What? I don't understand.
That should be an interview question.
They had me in there, and they go, what do you think of this? I go, man, I wish Wile E. Coyote would win. They go, go to the cafeteria for some lunch. That's my life, Los. Thank you.
The Roadrunner, that's a motherfucker right there. I hate that guy.
Hey, so we're drinking Einstock.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Do you have a beer buddy
A commercial description?
Sure, why not?
Of Einstock.
Because, you know, commercials and advertisers never lie.
No, they don't.
They would never tell us that it's really good when it's not.
So, brewed in the centuries-old Belgian tradition, our white ale features the complex flavors of the classic white beer, including orange peel and coriander, all brewed with pure Icelandic water that delivers a cool smoothness that is flavorful and refreshingly drinkable. It is 5.2% alcohol by volume. Excuse me,
can you read that part against again about the Icelandic waters?
Yes.
I was very taken in by that.
It is all brewed with pure Icelandic water that delivers a cool smoothness.
And you know what? It honestly says on the back, brewed and bottled by Einstock in Akureyri, Iceland.
That is so impressive. For all you longtime listeners of the Booze and Basketball podcast, that has long been a problem.
This is Icelandic ale made in Wisconsin.
These brews have claimed to be imported from somewhere exotic.
Heller High Watermelon? What was that? Who was that?
It was like...
They were very American. They were like, oh, we're patriots. And it was very New England based. Mm-hmm. It turned out it was brewed in San Francisco or San Diego or something. They're like, we're from the Northeast.
One of our first beers claimed to be, I don't know, it was like Norwegian or something. And they were from Maine or some shit like that. But, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was Einstock white beer. And if you're not familiar with a white beer, it is typically a Belgian white. They like to make it seem special that it's brewed with orange peel and coriander, but
that's most of the beer.
That's
we've
one
had.
Of the main ingredients.
And those
of a
are my
white
two
beer.
Favorite.
Yeah, it's pale. Now, it's wheaty. It's delicious.
This Einstock for Frank in the was that his name? Frank
at yeah, Belvmo. Yes.
This is it has a white. Decoration. Like yes. It's a very white based.
A label.
Mm-hmm. The label is white. The box is white. I also see a blue one. What's the difference between those two?
I think they're different.
I think the blue one's just a typical ale. It's
yeah,
not a white.
It's not
ale.
A
I
white,
mean, I've had that one, ale. And that one's great too.
That one's great. Did we have it on the podcast? I think we drank it leisurely.
We didn't.
Okay. But yeah, so Vikings don't have horns. but I do think this Viking is especially striking. Is it just me, or do we have a coordinates right next to the Viking?
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, right behind his head.
65 degrees, west 18 degrees.
Which could be the Iceland location.
Maybe.
Good for them. So my question is, though, if it's brewed from pure Icelandic water, is the water salt water? Is it fresh water?
It's fresh water.
Okay.
Icelandic, a nice Icelandic lake.
I think they're by the sea,
why don't you
though?
Take a dip in Lake Minnetonka?
Purple rain. I love it.
I'm not that much of a Prince fan.
Yeah?
I think he's overrated.
I thought you were always a fan of Prince, but not Mike. I think
no,
you
I'm
had
Mike,
said
but
that
not
before.
Prince.
Okay.
I think every song Michael Jackson had was a hit, including, you know, for some reason, my family got me his last album as a Christmas gift.
Invincible.
Yeah. Mm. I don't know why.
It was a great album.
I didn't even listen to the whole one. I just listened to You Rock My World.
Oh, man, that song
was
amazing.
That was a great song. That was, man, I put that up there with the best of Mike.
The last Michael Jackson album, titled Invincible, is a bona fide classic to me because it...
You're not very invincible, if you...
Oh, well, come on, man.
You go out of your last one, it's not that great.
The only thing that could beat Mike was Propofol, man. That was the only thing.
Jesus.
May he rest in peace. Which I think he was resting much before that. But I don't want to be insensitive.
Yeah, you're kind of being rude.
I just want to ask what your flavor... It's sort of fitting, though. As I'm looking at you across the room, I'm observing that we're drinking an Icelandic white ale, and then you have a Winter is Coming decal on your laptop.
I sure do.
Wow, isn't that appropriate?
No, not really.
But, you know, they film...
I also have a big, gigantic, you know, beard. Do you want to throw that in there, too?
Let's do it.
I'm just a gigantic, you know.
An amalgamation of Icelandic elements in this room. We have the beer.
Like an Icelandic hero.
So what do you think of this beer, though?
I think it's delicious.
You think it's delicious?
Orange peel, coriander, it's smooth.
Mm-hmm.
Everything works. It's a very nice blend. Everything works really well together.
Mm-hmm.
Certain tastes stand out, but
yeah,
you know, it's a nice revolving door of tastes.
Mm-hmm.
It's what it tastes like. It's you remember when you were a kid? Because I don't even think they have revolving doors now anymore. I think they got rid of them. Too many people died.
But, people die from revolving
doors?
Yeah,
all the time. I always thought I was going to die in one.
Why? How do you die?
Because some jerk behind you starts pushing a little too far, and you get caught in it, and you die.
What? Is that a fact?
Yeah.
Is that
in people factoid? Die in revolving doors all the time.
Is that a Facebook factoid, or is
no,
it a
that,
real factoid?
This was before Facebook. This was a fact I actually got from books before the internet ruined everything.
Stupid articles, man.
Back when I used we were the last generation to have a large portion of our youth without the internet.
Yeah.
That's it, dude.
Going to computer class was a special event. Now you have computers in class.
Man, I remember sixth grade was when they had a computer class. I was like, what are these computer
these
things you speak of? My uncle gave us one at the house. He was like, here's your first computer. And I was like, oh boy, this is big time. And the only things you could do on it were paint. Mind you, you couldn't paint in color. You had to paint in black and white. And then there was like a, because it would have like DOS, you know, where you have to type in things,
type
and I'd either go
commands.
To MS Paint,
yeah,
or I would go to, there was some sort of like Ford driving game, where if you go too fast, you get pulled over for a ticket. And that's it. Those are the only two things. That's it. That's all we had.
My dad.
And then we finally got Minesweeper towards the end
wow.
of my run.
Minesweeper.
And I was like, well, this is all right, I guess.
My dad worked in technology growing up. He was a telecom engineer, and we were ahead of the curve. He'd bring these floppy disk games, one of which was like a elf game in which you throw snowballs because you're trying to make your way back to Santa.
I think I remember that game.
Oh, man, we had that. And it was he'd buy all these little floppy drive games. And then when
CDs
came out.
Did he laugh a lot and stuff like that, the elf?
I don't even think I had speakers on that computer, the first one. And then, early shooters and things, we'd have those. And then I remember the internet, and I remember when we got an upgrade to a 60 gigabyte hard drive, which was just ginormous now. And now phones have bigger things than that, but the good old days. Anyway, I like this beer too. I think they take a very Spartan approach towards the white ale concept. I don't know if the Icelandic water makes a difference or not, but I think it's very cool and refreshing. It's not too weedy, which has generally been my gripe with white ales.
Yes.
Belgian whites. And yeah, it's enjoyable.
Normally with white ales, I feel like something's missing.
Yeah, there's a void there. And yeah. I think
it's like drinking diet soda.
Oh, gross. That's disgusting. If anything makes you feel shittier, it is diet soda.
Yes.
Because of the void that's there, because the artificial sweetener.
I feel the same way with vegetarian stuff.
Oh, no, man.
You put a little bit, I miss the meaty taste.
Not doing it right. It's because that's all you're thinking about.
Yep, that's right. Yep. How could this be better if there were meat inside of it? Yes, I do think that.
Well, if it's a, yeah, anyway, I'm not going there.
I got a grade for you.
What?
You ready?
Yeah, please.
A.
Whoa.
I give this Einstock Icelandic White Ale an A. Welcome to the starting lineup, kid.
Mm-hmm.
If we ever make it to another Best of Booze and Basketball, the awards.
Wow. Okay. So let me see. I'll give it an A-. I will.
Okay.
I like how... See, and I don't want to be too subjective to... Because Belgian whites aren't my favorite, I don't want to take that away from this beer. However, I thought there was room to innovate with an additional flavor, if you will, or pushing one of the orange
cocoa nibs.
Cocoa, yeah, please. Banana. Oh man, banana always.
Peach.
Oh, watermelon. Put watermelon.
Go
in
right
there.
In the toilet.
Put raspberries. Something. No.
Yeah, that, you know what? That's not bad.
Yeah.
Lemons.
So I don't want to take it away from it, but I do feel like there could have been one half a level of a notch that they could have turned it up to. However, I do give it a lot of points on the packaging end. Very well illustrated.
It's very basic.
Huh?
It's very basic.
Very basic, but like I said, that Spartan approach.
Yeah.
You know, you're very looking at something very simple but distinct. Yeah, it's a great drink. Refreshing.
Well done.
So, moving on, we recently celebrated the 20th anniversary of the greatest basketball movie that's ever existed in our time.
Coach Carter.
No, which, I mean, I think that's top three, but...
Remember the Titans. Bend it like Beckham.
Air Bud. Space Jam. Space Jam celebrated their 20th anniversary.
Yes.
And I can't believe it's been...
I did not celebrate it.
I can't believe it's been that long. I slightly celebrated it just because I was looking at a bunch of stuff that came out. You know, many people still...
It's been 20 years since Michael walked away from basketball the first time.
First time, yeah, and came back.
Wow.
And I read very interesting articles and saying, well, Space Jam was an unabashed cash grab.
It was an unabashed classic was what it was.
It was an unabashed classic, yeah. It was an hour and a half long commercial. Well, so what? A bunch of things, just scrutinizing it and just treating it unfairly. I think it's just the Casablanca of basketball, if you ask me. What are your memories with Space Jam? Because I was a kid. I was, I think, 6 years old when it came out, and I had the toys. I went to McDonald's. I got the Happy Meal toys as well. I remember getting it on video, and it came with this cool little coin, one with the Toon Squad, one with the Monstars in the back.
I was just at my buddy's place yesterday for the Survivor Series event, which Brock Lesnar versus Bill Goldberg. Man, you missed that one.
Whoa, Bill Goldberg is back?
Yeah.
Wow.
He beat Brock Lesnar in 48 seconds or something like that.
What the hell?
Yeah, it was nuts. Or 28 seconds or something. I don't remember what it was. Something ridiculous.
That's crazy.
40, I don't know.
Does he still look the same?
Yeah.
Well, the gray beard though?
His beard's gray now.
Okay, that's badass.
Man, he killed Brock. He speared him twice and then jackhammered him and that was
what
it.
What the hell? Isn't Brock back in UFC too?
He fought a return fight.
Okay.
And won. And then it turned out he was taking all kinds of stuff, which he'd done in the past.
Yeah.
But...
I mean, he probably didn't know there was a difference.
No. He may or may not come back. Who knows?
Okay.
But yeah, I was at my buddy's place, And I look over at his countertop, his kitchen countertop, and he's got a Michael Jordan Toon Squad action figure.
That's what I had. Was it sort of soft, but the head was hard?
No, it was hard, but it was... He was in the triple threat stance, where he had, like, the ball off to his hip.
Oh, wow.
And there was no ball there. Oh. So I don't know what he was grabbing. Ball must have been lost. But I was like, man, I was half tempted to ask him a name and price.
Man.
It's like, let me get that. But I wasn't a basketball fan when it came out. It came out in 96. I was 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't a fan yet. I don't even know if I saw it. I might have gone to see it in theaters because I love Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know. I don't remember how I saw it, but I loved it.
Yeah.
I don't think I needed to be a basketball fan. I think I went to go see it in theaters.
No, the spectacle that it was because...
No, you know, when did Matilda come out?
95.
Yeah, so I saw... Okay, so that was when we had a cheater box. I didn't even know what it was. I didn't know what a cheater box was, but we had all the free pay-per-view channels.
Oh, wow.
And Space Jam and Matilda were both playing at the same time. And I sat there, Los, and I watched Matilda. And it might have been over the summer.
Sure.
I watched Matilda about 40 times.
Wow.
Because I also had a crush on Mara Wilson during that time.
Who weirdly looks the exact same now.
Yeah, she looks the exact same. Brilliant person. I think she went to like NYU, got a degree, like, you know.
Just released a book.
Very smart person, very intelligent person to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
She was on the Mental Illness Happy Hour podcast, which I listened to, and she was talking about depression and anxiety and stuff like that.
Wow.
Very smart woman.
I stand corrected. I'm sorry to interrupt. Matilda was originally released in 96.
Okay, so they came out the same time.
That makes sense.
So I saw that about 40 times, and I saw Space Jam 40 times because it would keep switching between the two movies on the pay-per-view channel, and I would just sit there and watch all of Matilda, and then I'd watch all Space Jam, and then Matilda would be back on. I'm like, well, let me catch this one more time, then. And then Space Jam would come back on, so I saw both of them a lot. I don't know why it took me so long to get into basketball.
Yeah, you said
I didn't start watching until 2002 consistently.
Yeah. So right
I wasn't
after,
a sports fan, but for some reason, Space Jam was my thing.
What was that? Michael Jordan's last season with the Wizards? You got into basketball?
Yeah. Yep. Wow. Yao Ming's first season.
Wow. Yeah, that was it. 2002-2003 season. But yeah, I mean, I have a lot of memories with Space Jam. I mean, like, you know, you're a big wrestling fan. My friends were big wrestling fans.
Oh, yeah.
For whatever reason, as a kid, I found myself sort of an outcast because I was transfixed with the NBA. Every Wednesday, I remember watching NBA on TBS when it was back on there. And every Thursday was NBA on TNT and Michael Jordan playing and Kobe and Penny Hardaway or young Kobe, Penny Hardaway, Shaq, all the Grant Hill with the Pistons. But that definitely fit the zeitgeist into...
I never knew a Grant Hill that had hair.
Really?
Yeah.
Man.
He was always bald to me.
Yeah, post-Orlando Grant Hill is mainly what people remember. But, yeah,
Space... You probably remember Detroit Grant Hill.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
I didn't even
Detroit
know
Grant Hill when they wore those teal jerseys with
I only
terrible...
knew a Grant Hill that was gone for a long time, where he was gone for years. And they were like, man, when's Grant Hill? Poor Grant Hill retired, this and that. So he was already in the past for me.
Yeah.
And then when he came back to play for like the Clippers.
Yeah, was it the Clipper? Yeah.
Yeah, I was like...
He played for Phoenix.
He went for a long time where he was... Man, he had some longevity after that, where I was like... Maybe when he came back from injury, I kind of expected the same thing to happen to him would happen to Allen Houston. Because I also missed Allen Houston.
Yeah.
So he was... He spent... I don't know what. He played one game or something like that. And the whole time I watched basketball, and everyone was like, Allen Houston, one of the best to ever play. And I was like... He was just a ghost to me.
Yeah, Allen Houston. I think Allen Houston would have been a superstar in this NBA if we're going there. And that he was this shooter. He lived in the wing.
Well, it's easy to be a superstar when you don't play defense. And all you care about is your numbers.
Oh, man.
Are you listening, James and Russell?
Whoa.
Real easy when you don't care about winning. You just care about stats.
When we make
James Harden might be the MVP. No, he's not the MVP because he's not on the best team and he's not going to sniff a championship.
I don't know if this will be the next topic or the next episode.
Russell could score 100 points a game and I'll still call him a bum.
Okay.
Same with James Harden.
Let me finish up this Space Jam thing now. Best soundtrack?
Oh, that I Believe I Can Fly.
Oh, man. I Believe I Can Fly. Fly Like an Eagle. So much. I think 2 Live Crew had some songs on there. And so good. I'm just bathed in nostalgia right now thinking about Space Jam and how awesome it was. And how I hope a Space Jam 2 doesn't come out. Just because it doesn't... Other than that whole money grab situation.
LeBron basically already did it last year. He played the Monstars, this indestructible team of world beaters.
Yeah.
Draymond Green looks like one of the Monstars. His face is all... He looks like that big tall one that was stolen, that Sean Bradley's talent came from.
Yeah.
What's up, little man? That's Draymond. And he came back with a bunch of scrubs who look like they never played basketball before. J.R. Smith looks like he never wore a shirt before.
He didn't.
Shump looked like a bum.
Yeah.
He already did it. That was Space Jam Part 2. Was down 3-1. Thank you very much.
Oh, wow. Yeah, but I'm not a fan of Space Jam 2 coming out. Not because I'm bitter and not because I want to preserve the past. But I don't see it fit nowadays. I mean... In 1993, they're in the Super Bowl. There was a commercial that came out. Bugs Bunny, Michael Jordan, Hair Jordan is what they called it. And that basically set the stage for a Space Jam movie. And to the fact that when it was made, it made so much sense. Now with LeBron, where's Bugs Bunny now? I mean, where's he at? Like, we don't even know where he lives now. If he's still alive. If he's hanging out with the Trix Bunny. I don't know, man. No,
Trix are for kids.
Lola hasn't been seen in ages. I don't know what she looks like now. She
was like a baby. Muppet Babies. Looney Tunes. Little Looney Tunes or some sort of show. I don't know. But.
Yeah, where's Daffy Duck? I don't know where they're at.
No lie, Daffy was my favorite.
Daffy was badass.
Daffy was the man.
Yeah, he was witty.
It wasn't about Bugs. No, here's the problem. I grew up with my childhood being like, oh, Looney Tunes, that's something that's current.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that's going on now. And I didn't realize until later that I was sitting there, they tricked watching me into watching cartoons from the 50s, Los. They tricked me.
You were watching 40-year-old cartoons.
Be watching... the Three Stooges, and you're like, oh, these guys are funny. What are they up to now? They're like, they died 20 years ago. Oh, man. You tricked me again. Can I get some current stuff? Looney Tunes had stuff with, like, they had an episode where Bugs Bunny met Humphrey Bogart, and I was like, oh, who's this Bogart guy? What movie is he in recently? Because I had just come out of seeing, like, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids and stuff like that. I was like, well, he wasn't in that, but perhaps he was in another movie.
Yeah.
An adult movie. Maybe he doesn't do kids' movies. He wasn't in The Lion King.
So, yeah, and now these kids nowadays aren't watching reruns of Looney Tunes. They're nowhere to be found. Unless you go on YouTube, I guess, but no one's looking out for that.
You know how many Foghorn Leghorn shorts they made me sit through to get to a decent Rabbit Season, Duck Season cartoon?
Oh, man.
What was up with their fascination with Foghorn Leghorn? He was a great... tried to put the strap on him. They tried to make him the franchise player. He was like Anthony Bennett. It's like, man, why don't you lose the weight? And he's always trying to get with these old women. You remember that? Yeah. Like, man, this dude was a gilf hunter for sure. Like, he's sitting there, and he's like, oh, I'm going to babysit your little boy for you. And he's talking to, like, some grandma. He's like, oh, man, once I get this kid out there, I'm gonna put him out in the yard, and then I'm going to go inside.
He's just trying to get in.
Yeah, man, real thirsty.
Yeah, I had no idea what that was about.
Trying to go and help himself out some lemonade.
Yeah, it's not the same. So if...
Come on, Foghorn.
LeBron wanted to partner with SpongeBob or something, I think that would make more sense.
LeBron.
But
it's gonna be a sea battle. Like SpongeBob needs help. It's gonna be him, Patrick, and Sandy.
Because Plankton just assembled his own team of just badass, just old sea shit creatures kickers. Who could just ball. And then they bring LeBron and they put a little scuba mask on him.
That's not a bad idea.
See, we should pitch that.
Oh, we get. No, I'm a really hack writer.
Let's get a meeting in. You know. It doesn't take much nowadays.
Let's get a couple meetings in before lunch. SpongeBob, LeBron, undersea basketball.
Yeah.
What up? I cleared my 12 o'clock for this. Have these men taken outside and beaten up.
Or they could call... No, they could play to the Splash Brothers, right?
Because you got something
look
now.
Look at this, man. LeBron versus the Splash
Plankton Brothers.
So Plankton
kidnaps Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. Hey, dude, Splash Brothers ain't going to be around for much longer. You better be ready to say your goodbyes.
Yeah.
That's not. You better put this movie out right now because Klay Thompson's going for a little ride here in a few.
We could put it out by dumping season. January, February. Done. Yeah.
That team's getting broken up, Lowe's.
Yeah, Clay's not going to be there for long.
Nah, because and they messed up.
This is a good segue. So
the whole point of what they did was that they had the most vicious backcourt in basketball.
Yeah.
And now they're going to trade him for what? Like Victor Oladipo? And I like Vic, but come on, dude. It was you and Cody Zeller and my boy Christian Wofford. You couldn't deliver a championship to Indiana.
Mm-mm.
How can you deliver a towel to the men's room? All right, Vic.
Vic can't even be Russell's dance partner right now. He just doesn't have the moves.
Well, Russell dances by himself.
Oh, man, but Cameron Payne could sure keep up.
He tries to do a one-man tango, and I'm like, it's not working for you, Russ. It's working for DraftKings, but it ain't working for the NBA.
What's
the record right now?
The Thunder, I'll get back to you on that.
They undefeated?
No, they're not.
I don't think so. How about Houston? They undefeated?
No, they're not.
Houston's not doing well.
No.
They're talking about this guy as an MVP candidate. He ain't even going to make the playoffs.
See, and this is what I wanted to get into. So, happy anniversary, Space Jam. I hope you live within the canons of film and sports forever. I'll never forget you. You should have your own Walk of Fame star.
Thank you, Bill Murray.
Yeah, thank you, Bill Moore. Bill Murray should have won. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're done. You're fired.
I almost said Maury. Like I'm trying to find out who my dad is. But, no, Bill Murray. He should have won Best Supporting Actor that year. But, anyway, that's neither here nor there. They're living forever. Whatever. Okay. So, moving on to right now. How important stats are, at least to a certain amount of people, basketball fans, where you have your James Hardens, you have your Anthony Davises, you have your Russell Westbrooks, who are just getting out, getting theirs, putting quote-unquote historic numbers. I could throw DeMar DeRozan in there. These guys just racking up points. But when you see the records, they're not correlating with the amount of success that these guys are having individually. Yeah.
Here's my issue with these statisticians.
Yes.
Loving all these guys. Look at Anthony Davis. Look at James Harden. Mm-hmm. Look at Karl Anthony Towns. Look at all these stats. Look at Russell Westbrook, Harden, these monsters. Look at Hassan Whiteside.
Yes.
These guys are monsters. These are the same people who rip LeBron for sitting 11 games into the season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's why I hate these people.
Yeah.
They rip on LeBron for... missing the 11th game of the season.
Yeah.
Guess what? He plays every game in the season and then doesn't make it to the playoffs. They go, well, the regular season doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
You don't get both ways.
No.
Dingus. All right? You don't get to say the regular season doesn't matter for LeBron. He has to win a title and then rip on him for missing the 11th game. Get it together. You hate LeBron just because you hate LeBron.
Yeah.
I hated LeBron because I didn't like the fact that they crowned him before he won anything. Yeah. I don't believe in unjustified kings.
Yeah.
I believe in kings who go to war.
Yeah, who've earned their crown.
I believe in kings who cherish the crown.
Yeah. He's earned it.
Heavy is the head that wears the crown, my friend.
And I'll be the first.
And you know what? When they gave it to him and he didn't deserve it, I hated him. He earned it. Now he's a good king.
Yeah.
He's a wise king. Now he is a just king. Now he is a true king.
No.
And I stopped hating him after that and I started to like him. I started to respect my king.
I am shameless in admitting that, hey, I'm a guy who still hates LeBron. But I am also very aware that I have no logical reason to hate him anymore. It's because of years of just being used to hating him. And because of that, I realized that you just have to be fair. Just because you dislike somebody doesn't mean you have to take away from what they achieve and their significance and the importance that they play into the game. You know what
it is? People don't like to have things shoved down their throat.
Yeah.
You have a reason to hate them. You just haven't figured it out. What I imagine it is since this kid was 18 years old, he's been shoved down people's throats.
Shoved down, all the way down.
He doesn't deserve it. He didn't ask for it. But at some point, you and I spent the better part of the last hour before we recorded this hating on the media.
Mm-hmm.
Which, just because we're a podcast, doesn't make us the media.
No. No.
I'm not telling you how to think.
We like to consider ourselves the opposite. No. Yeah, so, whatever.
But you're stupid if you hate LeBron.
I'm stupid. I hate LeBron, I'm being very fair in saying that it doesn't matter how you feel about him, but don't just throw these silly expectations or don't scrutinize him for taking a day off when he's earned it after 14 years.
He should sit most of the regular season.
Yeah, preserve him because his season starts in late April. Yes. That means the playoffs. The regular season doesn't matter. He's graduated from having to put himself through that.
He's making Kevin Love look like $1 million right now. Kevin Love's found his place.
Kevin Love's looking real good.
He's found his place. Like, man.
They're creating a stage for these other guys, the next generation of the Cavs franchise, shine.
Honestly, I'd be surprised if Cleveland didn't win the finals. Hey. And now the media, you know what the media tried to do?
What?
The second that Kevin Durant went to Golden State, they tried to immediately paint them as the villain. You know why? Yeah. Makes them a lot of money.
It does.
I don't think they're a villain. I don't think Golden State's a villain.
No.
I don't think Kevin Durant's a bad guy. I think he's an idiot, and I think he's he's a John Kerry flip-flopper, and he talks out of both sides of his mouth, and I don't respect him as a leader, and I don't respect him. I don't think he's a role model. I think he's just some dude that plays basketball. I don't think he's one of the best in the world. People go, oh, Steph Curry's not even the best on his team right now. No, he's still the best on his team because Kevin Durant's not that good. Kevin Durant can play basketball.
I'm still laughing about the John Kerry flip-flop. I just haven't heard that term
since 2004. He talks out of both sides of his mouth.
Yeah. No, but that's great.
He's not a strong-willed person. He's not an intelligent person, and he's not a person whose opinion I respect. I don't want to hear Kevin Durant's opinion. I'll hear Steph's, I'll hear LeBron's, I'll hear, Chris Paul.
Yeah. I think the trick that the media has succeeded on was convincing the Warriors that they're villains. They've bought into that, and that's going to become a problem come May or June when they're on the brink of elimination trying to figure out where they went wrong.
Well, I think that they were spurned in the finals last year. They were crybabies. Yeah. They were down 3-1.
Yeah.
To the Thunder, and they were some whiners, and then they went down. They were up 3-1 on Cleveland, and those last three games, man, they were upset, and they were complaining about calls. And it was funny because you're like, those are the calls that you got all season long, and now you're upset. And so it wasn't very good guy like to be like, look at all the calls, look how much stuff is given to you, and now all of a sudden, you have one little problem, and you just completely crumple.
The moment you're
that was villainous, but I wouldn't make them a villain. They're just a basketball team.
The moment you're complaining about calls is when you know you've already lost it, and you're just afraid to let it go. You never see winners just complaining about officiating, or that calls aren't going their way. It's only when you lose that's when you're searching for answers, and that's just, man, it bothers me in sports. Having of every football, baseball, basketball, always complaining about officiating, and the people who are complaining are the losers.
You know what my thing always is?
Yeah.
And this is what I teach people.
Yeah.
Is I used to be very selfish.
Yeah.
I used to, I see you win a marathon, and I'll be like, man, why couldn't that have been me? I deserve that just as much as Los does. And your initial instinct, I think, as a person is to turn to jealousy.
Sure.
And as I've gotten older, what I'm noticing is they go, instead of instead of lamenting what I don't have, mm-hmm. why don't I celebrate what he has?
Yeah.
Because Los is my friend. At the end of the day, you got to stop. I spent my whole life just being like, how come I don't have the things that that person has?
Yeah.
Once I learned to celebrate their success, it's like you never lose ever again.
Yeah.
I've been nothing but a winner for the last year because every time I lose, I'm like, hey, man, let me go over and shake. Let me truly celebrate what this person has.
Yeah.
Oh, man, Los doesn't eat meat. Instead of being mad at him, I'm like, hey, man, he's changing his life. He's doing something for him, and I make fun of you from time to time, but I celebrate your success.
Well, thank you.
I think they're, at the end of the day, does it really matter who wins and loses the NBA from the player's perspective? It matters from our, as fans, it matters from our perspective, but Steph Curry's going to get paid no matter what. LeBron's going to get paid no matter what.
You get the opportunities no matter what. I mean, as an NBA player, you're always winning. You are always winning. The fact of the matter is, you're one of the 400 best players of basketball on the planet.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't even matter if the guy in the gym dunked on you. Like, if you, off-season, you're playing rec league ball, and some guy dunks on you. Because at the end of the day, you're still in the NBA. That person isn't.
And there's hundreds of thousands,
maybe millions at this point.
Of people who want to, who would give anything to be in your shoes.
Yeah, anything.
Not me, because I don't love basketball. I don't love playing basketball enough that I'm like, let me go on the road.
Yeah.
For 41 games a year and do this and do that. And I'm like, yeah, I don't.
Yeah.
That's not my craft.
You're one of the luckiest people out there who could say, man, this kids game, this playground game that we all grew up enjoying, I get to do this for a living. And I get to do this on TV, and I make millions of dollars to do so. And it's a very high level of competition. And 16 teams out of the league are able to take that competition to the next level in the stage of the playoffs. And two of those teams get to compete for a championship. Maybe you win it, maybe you lose it, but you're never going to forget that experience. The fact that you could say you played in an NBA Finals is a downright honor. And not that there's any professional basketball players out there or former players out there who could say, well, hey, you've never played, you don't know how it feels. Okay, I've played some form of competitive stuff, including basketball, and I know losing sucks. It doesn't feel good, but how you're able to elevate is to sort of take a step back and appreciate where you went, where you've been, and be able to say, hey, I learned something out of it, and enjoy and cherish that experience that you were honored to have. So, yeah, they're all winning. We're all winning. You just need to realize that you did.
That's beautiful.
Man.
I'm so proud of you.
I'm just saying, man. And like you said, us as human beings, we need to stop comparing each other to one another, because that's not what it's about.
No one's going to compare me to you anyway. We're both...
Yeah.
We're only here for 80 years, and then we go on, and...
And we're all forgotten about.
And that's it.
That's it. As... Honestly speaking,
we may be living in a time loss
where
that history is going to be forgotten anyway.
Yeah.
People go on to other planets and they go do all sorts of other stuff. Yeah. And then Earth is the first planet that they're like, oh, it got swallowed up by the sun. But we didn't keep a lot of the records because none of it mattered.
Yeah.
So we lost a lot of that Earth record stuff.
But look at it like this. Some of the most important people who've made a difference in our lives. Martin Luther King, Nikola Tesla, Gandhi, George Washington. How many times a day do you, Harriet Tubman?
George Washington?
I'm just saying. Harriet Tubman. I'm just thinking of historical figures. Jimi Hendrix, whatever. Willy Wonka. No, but these people are dead and gone. How many times a day do you think about these people? 0 to 1 times, right? So
I mean, I think about them all a lot.
Sure. Okay, you're an alien.
No, you know what it is, though?
But we forget.
It's not just me that's sitting here.
Yeah.
I'm an amalgamation
of
all the things and people that I've learned from.
Yeah.
So there's a part, I mean, you're sitting across this table from Martin Luther King and Julius Caesar and Harriet Tubman and Amelia Earhart and all the people that I've learned from, because I learned from their mistakes and I learned from their successes.
Yeah.
So all I am is an amalgamation of my personal history and the history that I've learned.
That's right.
I don't know what this has to do with basketball.
No, it all ties...
Just cut people a break, man.
It all ties into just layoff, you know? Because at the end of the day, hey, LeBron James has won 3 championships. He's earned the right to have the 11th game of the season off. And yeah, he said
he was going
to
win 7 in Miami.
Yeah.
But let it go.
People say things, and sometimes they can't fulfill those things.
And you know what it comes down to at the end of the day? That's why I'm not mad at Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
It's because he says a lot of stupid stuff. He talked way too much about how badly he wanted to be LeBron and how he needed to be the number one guy. Yeah. But I think deep down he knows he's not capable of that.
He's number 2.
He is not good enough to be the number one guy. And I think he realized that, and he's like, man, when I was a kid, I said I was going to be a millionaire by the time I was 25.
Yeah, me too.
Because I was stupid.
I thought I was going to make my first million at 25, first billion by 30. And now, man, it's cool to have 4 figures in your account at one time, you know?
5 in a case.
Yeah, a 5 on an occasion. I mean, but... It doesn't matter. And you know what part of the problem is with Kevin Durant? Is too many people have asked him what he thinks. We need to get off these people's backs. And I understand the media has a job, but there's room for innovation there. Is learn to ask better questions. Learn to ask basketball questions. Not try and make a spectacle or a drama or a soap opera about it.
You remind me of Cam Newton, the Carolina Panthers quarterback.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I don't like what he's doing where he's super hostile with the media. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, you loved the media when they were kissing your ass.
Yeah.
And now you hate them that they're like, ooh, Cam, what's going on there, buddy?
Yeah, but
why are you going to be mean? And I'm like, Kevin Durant, we celebrated your successes, so should you hate them when you're having problems?
I don't think, but my retort is that I don't think the media is being mean to Kevin Durant. I just think they're asking
stupid... They love Kevin Durant.
Yeah, they love Kevin Durant. I just think they're asking stupid questions to everybody, including Kevin Durant, to the point that you hear the same thing, and you've seen the reactions from a person like Russell Westbrook, who's completely dismissive of the media in many cases.
Did you see what they did with him, by the way?
What did they do?
Wasn't there, he was talking, they were asking him at the beginning of the season or maybe preseason about something that Kevin Durant said. And he was like, wow, y'all. And he said something.
Something about Kevin.
No, it wasn't something about Kevin. It was a response to them.
Oh.
Like, I took it as he was responding to the media being like, wow, this is what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
And they took it to think that he was talking about Durant. Oh. And like, wow, how dare Kevin bring this up? But instead, he was like, man, how dare you guys make a story out of this when there isn't a story?
Yeah.
It was very interesting.
Oh, man. Oh, and by the way, since you asked, the Oklahoma City Thunder's record is currently 8-6.
That's an MVP candidate.
Houston
right there.
Rockets 8-5. We were speaking about Hassan Whiteside. Miami Heat's record is 4-8.
Nobody said anything about the Spurs. How are they doing?
Are they
4-8?
Miami Heat. Spurs 10-3.
No one's talking about a unit.
And we were talking about Anthony Davis. Guys probably knew this, or maybe they're overachieving. Their record is 4-10.
4-10?
4-10.
With the guy who scored 50 points in double back to back games?
Yes. Yes. And to put this into perspective, let's look at statistical leaders. So you have Anthony Davis leading the wave in scoring with 31.7.
He's beating Harden?
He's beating Harden. He's beating Westbrook. Westbrook is slightly behind by a hair at 31.6 points a game. James Harden's sitting at fourth with 28.7 points a game, also leading the league in assists at 12.5. Russell Westbrook isn't too far behind at 10.4. Anthony Davis, 3.0 blocks per game. Hassan Whiteside leading the way in rebounding with 16.2 rebounds a game.
Jesus.
2.7 blocks for him as well. And I will wrap this up with LeBron James sitting third in assists at 9.0 a game. So, yeah, guys, stats aren't everything. I get it's fun, DraftKings, fantasy
a lot of fun
fantasy ball. Like, it's great, but that's the reason why it's called fantasy, is because it's not reality. In terms of how it affects the game of basketball, this is purely just for ourselves, which is fun, and it's cool to immerse yourself into it. In basketball especially, I think, for upwards of around 6 months, you're able to just be like, you know, drool over these numbers. Well, and sort that, of
you go on DraftKings, yeah, and you see this guy and you're like, wow, he had a great game. You never look at the score, and a friend who actually sat there and watched the game go, what are you talking about? They go, oh, this, yeah, guy had a great game, look at all the stats he put up. They go, they lost by 30 points.
Yeah, I've yet to participate, but in basketball fantasy, but what really affected me was a couple years ago when we used to do fantasy football, and I just couldn't take how lots of these players that I had on my team were facing my real life team, the Raiders, and beating them down, and how much that sort of tug and pulled on my emotions.
Yeah.
Being more invested in how my team's performing versus how these other guys are performing. So I took myself away from that.
See, my team stinks. I don't care who beats them up. It's easy. When your team stinks, you're like, just somebody beat them up because maybe they'll get a good draft pick. I don't know. But we don't have, you know, we're not good drafters, so
yeah,
we'll mess that up.
But needless to say, though, and as you guys went over on the last episode, it's still been a really fun beginning to the season.
Yeah, I've had a blast.
It's been so much. There's been a lot of surprises
there. Well, I think with Kobe gone.
Yeah.
And with Kevin Garnett gone and Tim Duncan gone.
Yeah.
It truly is. This is the new wave.
It's a different league.
So there's Anthony Davis. And I said Hassan Whiteside. It's not like Hassan Whiteside's a superstar, but he's, you know, an incredible statistical player. He gets a lot of news for all the blocks and rebounds he gets. And I mean, like, Zach Randolph's old, and, you know, all these players are going out the door. The Lakers are young, and they're hungry, and yeah, they're winning games.
Yeah.
And Chicago's completely different. And, all, you know, all these, there's all this turnaround, mm-hmm, and there's all these new great players that are leading the way that you're like, man, this is a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, including one of your favorite teams who, according to Mr. Basketball here, doesn't exist, the Atlanta Hawks.
Who are they? Oh, didn't they take Dwight Howard into that abyss?
Yes.
Dwight Howard's doing well, in that real black hole over there. And maybe Matthew McConaughey could tell me how many rebounds he's getting, because he's the only one who's watching those games.
No, from the black hole.
You know, the old black hole in Interstellar.
They're playing really well.
Don't let him go, Merv.
Dwight, don't let him go. Don't let him go, Dwight.
Poor Budenholzer.
No, but it's been...
Budenholzer would do great coaching these Lakers, don't you think?
No.
Come why? Luke Walton's doing a good job.
I think Luke Walton's the ideal coach right now for this, because he's a young guy coaching a young team. And I don't want to make this comparison, but with Brad Stevens and the Boston Celtics, that seemed to have worked pretty well.
You know what sucks about couple years. You know what sucks about being Luke Walton?
What?
Is if you're Mike Budenholzer in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, I need you to do this. Dwight goes, well, why don't you show me how to do it? Mike's like, I'm old. I'm a coach now. Like, I can't do that. And they're like, well, that's fair.
Yeah.
But
if Luke Walton...
in Los Angeles, Luke's still young enough to play. So Julius Randle's like, just show me how to do it. He's like, oh, geez. Sure. Starts, like, sweating and stuff.
To put this into
what's the matter? You couldn't do this?
Yeah, to put this into perspective, Luke Walton right now is younger than Kobe was last year.
Yeah.
So,
jeez, man. Well,
that's crazy.
I think Moses is younger than Kobe was last year. What's Moses up to these days?
Oh, man. Yeah, so I heard a weird comment from
that night that Kobe scored 81 against Toronto. That was the night Amelia Earhart's plane disappeared. I think they finally finished building the pyramids during that time, too. People were still putting together Stonehenge.
Stop it, man. I remember his teammates was Chris Columbus.
Oh, jeez.
Holding down the power forward position.
We don't talk about him. I'm not a fan of his.
Who is?
White people, I think.
Oh. A certain sect. of white people.
Yes. Middle America.
We don't want to generalize.
Middle America.
Yeah.
Anyway, you listen to Booze and Basketball.
The best of both worlds.
Make sure you check us out on boozeandbasketball.com.
For all your booze and basketball needs.
Or at least most of them.
Yeah.
And or some of them, I don't know.
Or, yeah. You
might find some good stuff on there by Dr. Thunder. Nugget.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're for the people.
By the people.
Of the people.
Yes. So make sure to check us out wherever podcasts are found.
And this is also a part of our, you know, newest podcast network.
Distilled Discussion.
Why don't you pour yourself a glass of a good conversation?
Yes. Pour me another.
You want to take us home?
Yeah, this has been a beautiful.
It's been an hour.
Beautiful hour.
Thanks. No, we said we weren't going to go a whole hour.
Yeah. But you know us. We never stay true to our word.
We like to give you more.
Yeah, we like to over-deliver.
I overcompensate as a fat man.
Over-deliver, so...
I gotta make sure I give you more.
On behalf of Jack Basketball over here, this is your friendly neighborhood, Los. And we bid you adieu. And as we always like to say, mahalo.